So let me think about like what might be interesting to you and how can help you coach me and stuff. So where we're at on things, we continue to make progress on all fronts, except for new clients and revenue growth. Now, I'll circle back on those two important points, which is we're not growing revenue and we're not growing new clients. But so, which of course is a concern, but it's not keeping me awake at night. The reason, and then the reasons being, so the 12-4-2 with clients is working out great.
Right.
It's the level of communication's fantastic. Clients are. I'm starting to hear them say, you know, this is great because it forces me to look at my stuff more often. And,
Right.
you know, there's a lot of stuff happening through there. And, we're, so the conversations are getting better, which is ultimately, it's the best part of the whole exercise. And, I can, you know, you can start to feel the idea, the referral idea starting to pick up in clients. Starting to hear some verbiage, some terminology around there. I continue doing a hard ask in some cases. So we're starting to get there. Haven't had any meaningful referrals yet, but doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I haven't lost faith in the idea that offering world-class service makes you referable, right? Like it's just obvious that that's the case. So from that standpoint, that's been good. our financial planning capacity has been building and growing, and so we're building that factory. So that was the last, or that process line in our last call. Excuse me. I mentioned that we were doing that, so we're always trying to have two plans on the go, and get those plans presented to clients within 3 months of completion. And I think we are now we're working on plans 7 and 8 right now. And to give you an idea of what that means for us, Rob, prior to Supernova, maybe completed 2 plans, and we now have been working this process now for, so based on you had the insight saying, well, why don't you make the planner in your branch a member of your team, your director of planning. So based on that insight and bringing him in on calls and talking to him and stuff. So we've really only been doing this for about 3 months and we're working on plans 6 and 8, right? This is quite powerful. So that's good. And we now have a process where client phones Eric and says, hey, my husband's been diagnosed with cancer. How does everything look? And I can say, let's update the plan, right?
Right.
And we're just in the process of doing that with a client. And so it's been good. It's been powerful. It's coming together nicely. So from that standpoint, that's all good. And then, I was talking to a client and he's friends with another client. And so I was going through my agenda that Kristen had prepared the folders for me, and we were going through the agenda, checking off the boxes, going through all the pieces. And I had a handwritten note in my agenda to talk to the client about their asset mix because they were offside on equity versus fixed income. And we had had a compliance inquiry. Nothing, not a hard compliance inquiry, just like, is the client, excuse me, aware? So I said, oh, hey, Mr. Client. This isn't on your agenda, but I've got a handwritten note here from Kristen that we should touch base on this. So we went through it. After going through it, my client said, you know what? You're not going to believe this, but I was having dinner with another client of yours and we started talking about how great it is to work with Kristen, which is like, that's just the ultimate compliment, right? If your clients are talking to each other about how great your support staff is at dinner, like that's amazing. So of course I passed that on to Kristen. And then, the other piece being the client then, took the initiative to email Kristen and thank her for staying on top of things and being able and having me touch base with the client on that. So that was all like just wonderful and great. So it's coming, and these are like little wins that are stacking up.
Right.
So it's fantastic. So again, makes us more referable.
Well, you get the scale, you know, now the scale is here. Maybe it was even here. And now it's, you're doing more and more and more and more. Pretty soon the clients are going to get, it's like, I just was entertained by a friend of mine up in Ohio to play, Jack's course up there, Muirfield Village. And I mean, so, you know, I feel guilty, right? I got to do
right.
something for him. So we're going to send him flowers. I'm going to send him a note, but I'm going to have him down at my club in Florida. I'm going to do my best to even out the scale because he did way too much for me. Right. So that's the idea. You want to overweight the scale so that the clients, if they're givers and they're nice people, they're not going to like that. They're not going to like the fact that they're going to try and help you. And when you make it clear the way to best help you is, you know, is an introduction, it's wonderful.
Right.
It's so interesting that, you know, we think that it's really kind of almost intrusive to ask for an introduction. I was at my dentist office, and right as you walk in the dentist office is a gift basket, or in this case, it was a grill.
Right.
And that's their monthly gift to anyone that, you know, it's, they pick it out of a hat for all those people that gave them an introduction.
Right.
So they've got it posted there. And then as you look, they've got it posted. Introduction is the greatest compliment we can get. Thank you very much. Marsha introduced me to the dentist. So she got a $10 Amazon gift certificate, a nice note in an envelope, and her name in the hat. Okay.
Right.
And were we offended by that?
No.
No.
Not at all.
It's kind of like, I'm like, you know, this guy's a real pro. This guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, how nice were they? Unbelievable. The reception, to the dental hygienist who did the best cleaning I've ever had, to the doctor who came in and all he wanted to talk about was my hikes to Himalayas and different things because he knew I had a tooth that I had cracked and I was worried because I was going to hike Kilimanjaro and that was in my record and it didn't crack, but I took some antibiotics and I took some painkiller in case it, you know, with the altitude change, it might trigger it, right? All he wanted to do was to ask me about my hiking. And so I was like, and he couldn't attend. I mean, it was like, he took an extra 15 minutes with me, which was great for me. And I could, you know, so I'm like, of course I'm going to introduce this guy to everybody. Right.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's so powerful to do that, to have those things. And I just, when you were saying that, it reminded me of another moment where having the folder system and the preparation. So that's effectively what the dentist was doing, right? He had checked his folder and knew what was going on and was, you know, and so I had a scenario where a client canceled on me, a very important client. He canceled on me the day before saying, couldn't meet it. We'll have to reschedule it for another time. And so that's fine. But then, he had texted me. He said, well, he called me at 10:30 the next day saying, did you get my text? And I said, no, I didn't. And he didn't have my cell phone, no cell number correct. So it just clearly didn't get it. But he said, you know, turns out I do have half an hour of availability right now. Can we do this now? And I said, he said, unless you've probably moved on to other things, you're probably not prepared. And I said, well, hold on, Mr. Client, let me just grab your folder. And I grabbed it and we were able to cover a ton of substantive stuff off the cuff because it was all there. It was ready to go, right? I was still prepping the meeting. And that I know that was meaningful for that client and powerful for that client because he could tell that we were ready and we were professional, right?
Right.
Which is great. We never had that before and it's working out well.
Yeah, and it's so good for you. And guess what? It's also so good for the client because then they're prepared. And if you actually are presenting a product or service, you give them a heads up, you know, give them an article about whatever it is, have them read about it, think about it, and then you talk about it. And you may not sell them on that call on that product, but they're informed and they're at least not blindsided by it.
So all that stuff's coming together nicely. I don't have any concerns. And then as far as the revenue point of view, so revenue's down, but revenue's down for two reasons. One is, I have been moving the business away from new issues, right? So taking down new issues, pushing them through. It's a good revenue generating piece, but it doesn't fit well within the service platform, the consistency of execution, so on and so forth. And so that's been something that I've been moving away from for a couple of years now. It used to be a bigger part of our business. And, I've never really been a big fan of taking down inventory risk because like right now I don't have any, I have zero inventory risk and that's pretty cool. The other piece being, our institutional clients were just less active. So they did fewer trades, which is fine. So, but when I look at the, what I would say maybe the quality of our revenue, it's way up. So our reoccurring revenue is trending in the right direction and continues to go up. So that's, you know, fee-based revenue effectively, right? So all of that's moving in the right direction and the right clients are in that type of, agreement. So from that standpoint, things are moving together nicely.
You want to take a minute and just kind of run through the inventory of, acquisition ideas and where are you on those things? You know?
Yeah. So like new client acquisition ideas. So,
centers of influence. Yeah. And then niches.
I haven't moved the needle on that at all. Call it out, right?
How about niches? I mean, you were pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Again, still haven't moved the needle.
What do I have to do? Come up there and do it with you?
You know, Rob, it's one of these things that one of my, personality traits is a perfectionist, right? So I end up not doing anything until it's perfect. And so, I end up procrastinating because I'm a perfectionist in a sense, right? So I have to just push myself off that ledge is what it looks like. So, and that's been a struggle of mine the entirety of my career, right? Is that piece. So.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about a partnership?
Oh, I'm all about it.
You need a hunter.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. And,
I mean, not that you need a hunter in the sense of for, you know, cause you're not capable. You need a hunter to, it's kind of like my wife and I. We're so different. We're perfect. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
She's everything that I'm not. And she's not a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's kind of an introvert. I'm like out there risk taking, crashing, banging, come home, patch me up and send me out on the next great adventure. Right.
Yeah.
When you find a person that's sort of your alter ego, the opposite of you, in some cases they don't respect each other.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you can get a person that knows themselves, and knows what they need, then it's the perfect marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I recognize that and I've been looking for a hunter for a few years now. I've got a line on a potential candidate, that looks interesting. So I've been putting feelers. I've let my branch manager know, like, I'd be looking for this type of candidate. If you have anybody that comes across, I'd be happy to talk to them and stuff like that. So and then above and beyond that, I'm looking myself. So that is, I do recognize that, that having a hunter in place would be the right skill set augmentation for sure. Right. That doesn't, absolve me from the responsibility to grow my business.
No. And here's my other point.
It is, important.
My other point is that by having a hunter, you will do more hunting.
Yeah.
Okay.
By virtue of that, it'll create a competitive dynamic, and
it just creates an energy about it.
Yeah.
That if he can do it, God, why can't I do it? And you actually see him do it, and then you go, that wasn't that hard. I can do that. Right? There's a lot of times it's just the isolation of what you particularly in COVID world. I mean, here you are by yourself. You don't have me propping you and pushing you. And, you know, once a month I push you and then you know, you feel bad that you didn't do it. Da, da, da. But if I was with you every day, you'd do it. You'd be so sick of me. You'd be doing it. And it wouldn't be that as much as I would be showing you and doing it myself. And then you'd be like, jerk, how did he do that? He's not as smart as I am. And he got that. And I could have gotten it. You see, because you're going to be the engineer. You're smart. You know what you're doing. You got it. You're going to provide for that person the ability to get things done. You get a person like me, ADD, a million ideas, can't get it all done, right? Crap's flying everywhere. I got, you know, more things going on than I have time for. You know, you being my partner would take half of those and go, okay, I got this one. I got this one. I'll follow up on that. And you do a great job. And you're like, Rob, you don't follow up on anything. What's wrong with you? And I go, I don't know. I'm weird. And you go, okay, you go do your crazy thing. I'll do mine. And we're a good team. And that's the part that you got to value that, and a hunter will value that. A guy like me would value you.
Right.
As you would get, you'd do all the 12-4-2s, and I would do them, but I would not like it like you like it.
Right.
Right? I would do them because I know I need to do them. But there's a lot of guys that don't know they need to do them, okay? And so you could help them to keep their accounts.
Right. Well, that's exactly.
Good at bringing
in him from going out the back door.
Right. And you teach him to do it, to make those calls. And he'd be like, I don't want to make the call. And you go, yeah, you have to. Otherwise we're going to lose those accounts. He'd bring in this big account and you'd be like, we don't take care of him. You're going to lose him, you know? And so you take good care of him and you keep him and grow him. And so I think I don't think that it's a permanent condition for you. I think it's a temporary one where you're stuck. Okay. You're stuck and you need.
Well, and I'm just super comfortable too, Rob.
Yeah, I know. You're making good money. Life is good, you know,
but yeah, making good money. If you're not growing, you're dying. Right. So eventually every year that passes, every month that passes that I'm not actively bringing in new money, new younger clients, I'm increasing the speed that my business will roll over, right? So that is something I'm mindful of, but haven't created a sense of urgency around.
Well, you know, I could do a lot better myself. You know, I could hunt more and I could do a lot more, but I enjoy my balance. But, you know, when I was young, I was completely crazy. But that, you know, that made for me success, you know.
I think sometimes I value the balance almost too much, right? I value my personal time so high. I put a very expensive price tag on that time. And, but the flip side of it is I don't always act like that time's valuable either. So if I truly believed that time was as valuable as I propose it to be, I'd be working my ass off so I don't have to work my ass off anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Retire early, if you will. But that's all part of it too.
Yeah. And you know, it's, now Project Gratitude, which is one of those things that's just an engineering progress. It's not something where you really have to do anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
Right? So you take and make a list of everybody in your practice that you value, find out where they came from. If they were an introduction, you write down the person that introduced you and the date they opened the account, and then you put those on your calendar and thank them as part of your regular monthly calls. You don't have to make an extra call. It just goes on the monthly call as part of your agenda. Okay? Can you do that?
And I know that we're, I know we're working on that. I know that Kristen's getting the list together, getting the information together, and she's going to start rolling it out. So, we'll start seeing that come across, coming through probably next month, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. Put that on your agenda as something to meet with Kristen about.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's really interesting is, so there was a recent class action, settlement at our firm. And I have two former clients that I've got to call and let them know about this settlement. But they referred to me three clients. So I'll be able to call this former client, talk about the settlement, but I'm also going to say, and by the way, thank you for referring Jane and John and Jimmy, you know, 3 years ago. We'd love to, you know, if you'd love to chat, I'd be happy to, because it's be a wonderfully high value client if they decided to come back. And they left on good terms. So, it's there, and I think it's a great way to just plant that seed again.
So that's my Project Gratitude. How to get introductions without asking, thanking people for what they've done in the past. The other is being a connector and the enthusiastically endorsed list. So Kristen should have every month another question for you to ask. Can you enthusiastically endorse your blank and fill in the blank and make a list of, let's say, the 12 that you want to fill in for each client?
Okay.
So we start with CPA, attorney, you know, CPA, then we go to attorney, state planning attorney, commercial realtor, residential realtor, business broker, and we go down the list until we get to, you know, doctor, dentist, cardiologist, internist.
Right.
And we want to develop our own professional list of enthusiastically endorsed advisors in our community. And that takes absolutely no possibility of rejection.
Right.
Okay. So that is just one of doing. It's just doing it. It's just a ritual. So get that list. And what, how does that relate to getting introductions without asking? Weighing the scale. Okay. When you do more for other people by connecting them, you know, people are all the time needing somebody, psychologist. My 16-year-old is on drugs. I need help. Mm-hmm. I've got the guy. He's great. Right? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that answer for them?
Yeah.
I've got the guy, Bruce. He's fabulous. He's going to be able to help you. He's a professional. I've used him before. We have great results with him. Because these poor people are lost.
Yeah. You know, that's I think the most powerful part about getting this implemented is, as you said, get Kristen to put the question on the agenda. Because Kristen has, we've talked about this, and Kristen and I have talked about this. She'll say, have you talked to the client XYZ about this? And I said, put it on the agenda and I'll hit it. If it's on the agenda, when I'm going through that call, I will, that's why she started putting handwritten items on mine, is so that I hit it. So you know, she's learned that if she wants me to get something done, put it on the agenda and it gets done. So, similarly with this is powerful if I can get that on the agenda as well. So that's good.
Right. And this,
and that's on my agenda. That's not on the client agenda.
That's on your agenda. Yeah. That's right. And then, okay. So how does that get you an introduction? Again, by having that golden Rolodex, that list, you're weighing, right? You give them solve a problem for them that, yeah, solve their 16-year-old's problem and bring them back into the house rather than going to jail.
Right.
But it's a miracle, right? Yeah. So they're going to do anything for you. And that's what you want. You want to have a connection everywhere. Seriously. Just think about it. I know a guy, right? I know a guy.
Yeah.
I know a guy in the jewelry business. Basically, you know a guy everywhere, and you're going to be able to fix things for people. And that's what you're after. When they have a problem, you've got the solution. Every time there's a problem or a complaint, opportunity. You love them. Love client problems and opportunities, right? Complaints, anything. Especially if they have a complaint against you. It's like, wow, that's wonderful. Tell me about it. How could we? Oh, we didn't do that? Okay, I will get that fixed for you. Look, the reality is Supernova is brilliant for you because you won't lose clients, right? But at the same time, it gives you confidence that you won't lose clients, which makes you a little too comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when I came to you in October of last year, it was, you know, we were going through the pandemic and I didn't have a defined service plan. And I was having that moment of, have I been talking to clients enough? Have I been... Do you know, is the back door, am I watching the back door? That's kind of how I came to Supernova. Back door is fully covered. Everything is fantastic. Life's great. But as Supernova is a growth platform, right? And that's the piece that I need to work on. And
you got to believe that you deserve it. Okay. Part of it is, do I deserve it? And the answer is yes. I used to use the idea that, you know, if I don't take care of them, they're going to go to the Taliban. in my world, it was, they're going to go to E.F. Hutton. You know, I work for Merrill Lynch, yeah, and I thought the guys at E.F. Hutton were just absolutely criminals. And so it used to be that I would call and at 8 o'clock at night, I'd make one more phone call to protect those poor people from E.F. Hutton. Mentally, that's what I did. And I really believed it. So whenever they said no, I said, fine, great. You know, you're all set. Good. I've taken care. I've given you the opportunity to have somebody care for you and take care of you. If you don't want that, good. Okay. But I gave you the opportunity, and it was like I was saving the world. And that, I think you are. And that's what you've got to believe. You got to believe, you know, I didn't know when I was a manager how good I was. I did not recruit the way I should have. You think, well, Rob, you're the most confident guy I've ever seen. No, I wasn't. I didn't think it was that different. I thought everybody was a manager like me. I thought everybody.
I'm 100% there, Rob. I feel like everybody holds themselves to the same standard I hold myself to, and I'm not unique, and I'm not any better than the next guy on the street, right?
So can you imagine the last 15 years of coaching FAs, what it taught me? Right. When they say, you know, my manager, you know, and they tell me what's going on, I'm like, oh, my God. And they're getting no coaching, none, okay? None. And I was always a coach. I mean, I was always a guy that – jacked people up and got them going and kept them going and supported them and recognized them and had crazy things contests so they wouldn't know they were working. You know, we would have so much fun that people forgot they were working and just were having fun. Right. So it taught me that all those times where I didn't pick up the phone because I thought you know, he's fine over at Morgan Stanley. He's doing great. What can I offer him? I was such an idiot. And the guys that were good recruiters were terrible managers. All they did was recruit. It's kind of like the hunter idea, right?
Yeah.
They're terrible FAs, but they're great at hunting and they grow and they do great. You're sitting there going, I'm twice as good as he is. Why am I not making more than he is? Well, because he's an idiot and he's hunting, you know? And so that's all I can, I mean, if I could tell you anything, it's that you're really, really good and that you deserve it and you should go out and get it because they're not getting what you're getting. Because I see who I take on before I take them on, right?
Right, yeah.
What do their businesses look like before I call, before they become my client? They are crap, okay? Right. When did you call? Well, I call them twice a year. Oh, great. He's got 60 million with you. Yeah, twice a year, that's all we do. Of a sit down for 3 hours each time. How the hell do you know what's really going on in that person's life? You're not an advisor. You're a money manager. That's all you are.
Right.
So that's all I can tell you is you're a hell of a lot better than you think you are and that your clients, your prospects deserve you. And don't ever feel like everybody is equal out there because they're not even close.
Awesome. No, that's good. That's really good, Rob. It's nice to get your tires pumped up a little bit every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, it's in the success you can have, Eric, is mind-boggling. I have two guys that I hired. First guy I ever hired, Raj Bhatia in Chicago, and Craig Dobbs was my first hire when I went to Indian. It was actually my second hire. I hired two guys from Northwestern Mutual Life. They were goldmine, by the way. If you're looking for a talent and you just want to hire somebody and make them a partner, find the best guy from Northwestern Mutual Life. I don't know if they sell up there, but
I don't know either.
You know, an insurance salesman, those guys know how the hell to sell. And right. they work their ass off and get nothing compared to what we get in our business. So yeah. I hired their very best guys, two young guys. One guy was the best in his first year with Northwestern Mutual Life in the whole country. And the other one was the best as a student selling to universities in the country. That's what they had. They had student insurance salesmen. So I hired them both. And the one that was a student salesman is now the managing director for Morgan Stanley's high net worth group. They manage $500 billion. He personally manages $37 billion. Drives his own airplane. He was sponsoring two cars down in Nashville for the race. We had a Indy car race, kind of a Formula One race for the thing. I figure he's taking home about $7 million a year. Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
The other one is just got $2.7 billion in assets. And he's an Indian, he was the first Indian hired from India in our firm. And he's in Chicago. He's on the Forbes and Barron's list, top guy, private wealth with Merrill Lynch, still at Merrill. And, I don't know, what's he making? I don't know. Crazy. Well, he's probably doing $15 million. He's probably making $6 or $7 million too.
Quick question on, so this is a US versus Canada thing, but are these guys picking stocks or are these guys using managed money?
One does business with all the unions and like he says, Rob, I've got all the unions in Nashville now.
Yeah. But that's part of it, right?
He hires money managers and the same with Raj. Raj probably has a division, you know, a group that manages stocks because they usually the private wealth people like to manage some stocks. They have a portfolio, but most of it's asset allocating and
Right.
You know.
Cool. Well, that's good to know too. Like there's Canada is moving towards what the US did probably a decade ago, which was probably more than a decade ago, which was pushing their big teams encouraging their big teams to move to managed money because it's lower. There's lower compliance risk. There's higher efficiency. You know, there's scale benefits, things like that. Right. And, so that's part of me navigating this too is looking at what the trends are in the industry, at least in my country, which is we tend to do what has happened in the US, but decade later.
I just, for example, my portfolio is, I manage a chunk of it. I started a grant with about $500,000 and it's grown to $6 million. So that I manage myself. I just hired JP Morgan to manage my value, right? I've got Winslow managing the growth side of my portfolio and I have a couple other managers. So do they do better than I do? No, not usually, but it's diversification of my personal risk, right? Cause I get bias, right? I get bias as a manager. I think I'm a fairly good manager, but I'm biased towards different things. So I like to hire other managers to give me ideas and to also diversify my risk.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, in the States, we have been, it's the technology boom and the digital revolution has changed the entire economics for our country and maybe for the world, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've been the leaders of that. So do we benefit? Like Raj, I said to Raj, I said, I'm doing this, you know, I'm starting this program, Supernova Scholars, for our diverse population to get them in our business. And he said, Rob, I'd love to help. I started a foundation and, you know, for some reason I was early adopter of NVIDIA. So, you know, I've got lots of money.
Right.
I got lots of money to help you with. And I'm okay, I'm coming to see you. So I'm going to go up to Chicago and see him, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, you cannot believe the amount of money that's out there now. It's like
phenomenal.
In the areas that you and I poked around in as a niche, the money is for real now. I mean, the value of land, farms, the equipment, deer, you know, Caterpillar, Cummins engines. I mean, it's huge. And you know, they used to be just boring stocks and now they're like, whew, I think they're going to have another decade of explosion here. Yeah. So I just think it's, you know, what an opportunity, but I think you would really benefit by a team. I really do. I just think the energy that you get from not a bad team. I'm talking a good team.
Good team. Okay.
Good team in your market. You know, recruit them from other firms, do whatever you need, but find the right people, put them together. You've got a fabulous sales assistant. I just think you got the makings of a great opportunity. I don't know. Just seems.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I enjoy being in the background. I'm not, I don't get much out of the hunt necessarily. I get there's a different hunt that I'm on, right?
Yeah,
I'm on a different intellectual journey, if you will. But it's not to say that it can't be done. The challenge of going out and broadening my skill set is absolutely there and interesting. It's just that it's the time commitment, right?
Yeah.
I have to decide that it's worth the time commitment.
Just block some time for it. Just absolutely just, you know, that's what the folders are for. You put a folder for the niche. You put a folder for each of the centers of influence.
Yeah.
And then they pop up just like out of a toaster. Boom. That's my hour I'm going to spend on niches. So every week you're spending some time on centers of influence, niches, you know, whatever it is that you're using as your incentive to market yourself. So, you know.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, should we be leave it there? I want to be respectful of your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I will think that's about it. And look forward to, you know, work on that project gratitude, those two things.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right, sir. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Have a great afternoon.
Okay, Eric. Bye-bye.